25 years on the PGA Tour and a lifetime member of the PGA Tour and PGA of America. Jay Delsing brings you his perspective on one of the world's greatest games as a professional golfer and network broadcaster. It's the game that connects the pros and the average Joes. Brought to you by Whitmore Country Club. Golf with Jay Delsing is now on 101 ESPN.
Good morning. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay Delsing, and with me is my buddy, longtime caddy, John Perlis. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay. Ready to roll. Well, what do we got up today?
Well, first of all, the show is formatted like a round of golf, and the first segment is called the On the Range segment, and the On the Range segment is brought to you by our friends at Golf Discount, and Golf Discount is where St. Louis shops for all of its golf needs. And don't forget about our important social media. We need you to follow us on social media.
We're having a lot of people follow us, actually.
Twitter is at Jay Delsing. We'll talk about that in a second. Facebook is Golf with Jay Delsing and Jay Delsing Golf. And LinkedIn is Jay Delsing. And we make fun of this Instagram, and we never give our Instagram. I don't even know what it is. And I have more. I have about 50 people a week jumping on this
That's
Instagram.
Awesome.
And yeah,
That's
so
awesome.
Thanks for all that. And what we're really using it. We're not social media guys. We just want to grow the game and talk about the show and hope you enjoy the show. And, you know, holler and scream at us if there's something you don't like or tell us stuff that you'd like more of. We're wide open to it.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so we got another interview, Caddy Tales, with Mark Long. Really good stuff. Mm-hmm. Really fun. And another segment of The Leading Edge with our buddy Pepe down at Pino's Italian Soul Food. And I wanted to talk a little bit, Pearl. I wanted to talk, start getting into how we're going to help our listeners with their game when the weather gets lousy.
I think that's a good idea.
Yep. And so I've got a couple of people that are going to come on the show that are going to talk about exercise programs. Cindy Vickers is her name, and she is, man, I asked her the other day, we've been talking, and she's been trying to figure out how to get on, and I said, can you send me your credentials? And I was like, whoa, this woman is a rock star. And she lifted weights competitively, and she's TPI, which is Titleist Performance Institute certified. That's a huge deal.
Wow.
So she's going to get on with some really interesting facts coming up soon.
She got her own gig, or is she at some business? Or
yeah, she's a personal trainer and trains around town.
That's
and
awesome.
Goes to golf courses and goes to driving ranges and tries to help understand, you know, this flaw in your swing, we can help work that out by making this area of your body stronger. And then she's got reasons and facts to back that up, so that's pretty neat. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Justin Thomas won the event, the Nine Bridges event, again in Korea. Third time in, what, 4 years, right?
I honestly don't know.
Well, we're not that accurate anyway, but I know it's the third time he's won. Maybe it's 5 years.
So it's like three out of something.
Three, yeah. He's won three times.
Out of something.
Did you see how much money he made?
1.8, it says here on my notes.
Who made those notes for you?
You did.
Oh, well,
is it close?
So they're mildly accurate. Yeah. No, they are accurate. And it's interesting because you start talking about in our Caddy Tales segments that we have run in and out throughout the year. And you start talking about, so think about this. In 1985, my rookie year on tour, I made $47,000 and kept my card.
I can remember obviously following you because we're friends thinking, God, that's a lot of money. What's he going to do with all that money?
I know.
Because I was at the time, I'm not sure what I was doing. I think I was playing mini tour or teaching, giving lessons. In either way, it didn't add up to $47,000.
No, $47,000. And I'll never forget, I finished my second tournament of the year. I finished ninth in Hawaii, made $13,000. Right. So I'm like,
so what the hell happened to the rest of the year?
Just, God, rain on my parade, will you?
Sorry.
I'm getting a little
great,
puffy right
great
here.
Finish. Thanks. Great finish.
So, good playing, right? How long ago was that? Oh, I don't know, 34 years ago. Man, if I'd only birdied the last hole, I'd have made $17,000. Anyway, but I had to cut.
How long did that bother you?
I know. It stopped bothering me about yesterday. But the funny thing is, $13,000 I had to pay my caddy.
Caddies are worth. What did you? You didn't pay him enough, whatever it was.
Wait a second.
What was it?
I'm trying to remember. Did I give it 7% of $13,000?
How the heck did the guy have to swim back and forth?
He did. He had a raft and a little
attitude. Yeah, he could afford a flight, that's for sure.
But what I'm getting at here is JT's caddy, Jimmy Johnson, just made $180K. What?
Do I get 10% of this show?
Oh,
you owe me.
You're going to owe me money. I don't think you want it. Meat, he doesn't want it. Help him with the math.
Wait, are you getting paid?
Paid?
What's this?
I get a percentage, I thought, but maybe I don't want a percentage.
Yeah. Pearly was great at math. Sometime we'll tell our math grade card story at college.
I was good at math.
Yeah, you were.
The only thing I was
horrible.
Good at.
You were horrible at it.
What are you talking about?
The grade card that we got in calculus. When we saw our grade
cards. Well, calculus is, I'm talking math.
Oh, okay. I thought that was math. All right, so we talked about this a little bit.
That brings back bad memories.
Wow, I start sweating a little.
Me too.
You should. You should be sweating more than I, because I did better than you in that. Tiger and the Japan Skins Game Challenge, the Skins Challenge. Okay, we talked about this a little bit. Let's frame this up a little bit for the listeners. Back in the day, the very first Skins game was Jack, Arnold, Tom Watson, and Gary Player.
Yeah. Big names.
Really. Pillars.
And in, was it Palm Desert?
No, it was in, it was a desert mountain in Scottsdale, I think.
It was Desert Highlands.
Desert Highlands, you're absolutely right. Desert Highlands, yep.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That's where it started.
That was the first one, and it moved down.
It's a beautiful golf course.
Yes.
It has some beautiful holes, but it's got some funky shots
funky
out there.
Stuff out
and when
there.
You miss a shot and it hits one of those boulders.
But think about this for a minute. Those guys played for tons of money back at the time, stuff that was considered massive amounts of money, right? So here's how this thing broke down financially out at in Japan. Jason Day walks away, birdies the 18th hole, wins $210,000. Look, we are in no way, shape, or form saying that's not a lot of money. It is. But Tiger wins $60K, Rory wins $60K, and Hideki only wins 30. Only wins 30. But that doesn't mean anything to them.
No, nothing.
Now, we know they were all paid way more than that to show up. We all know that. But how is this good for the game, and how is it significant? How does Tiger, besides being the most competitive guy in the world, how does he care? I mean, I want to beat Jason Day, but this isn't going on my resume. This isn't in the record books. Is this good for the game?
Oh, I don't know that it's bad. I just think that it's milquetoasty, as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, that's what I saw. Like I said, I enjoyed watching it for about 10 minutes. And I'm thinking, okay, it's kind of pretty golf course. You know, it was kind of strange, too. Fans are walking all over the place.
Right.
The guys are putting. It looked like a practice round to me.
Yeah.
Which, again, who doesn't like watching those guys play golf? But I don't even, it's like, don't even do the money thing, because you know they're making five times that under the table, or not under the table, but in the contract.
Right. So how do you do it then? How do you do it?
I don't know. Have them play for a charity. Have them do something like that where people are rooting for different things.
How about playing for their own money?
Yeah, they're not going to do that. These guys aren't going to do that.
It's a conversation stopper.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
now,
no way in hell.
What was part of that deal, though? I saw,
no
were they playing
hell.
With rugby players or something?
Yeah, they had a rugby, yeah. And I'm not exactly sure how or what that was about, but I think they were just trying to spice it up a little bit. Which
one of the rugby players picked up one of the golfers.
I think he picked Rory
him.
Up. It looked like he could have tossed
like
him
a little,
like a
like
rock.
Like a little kid, like he was going to rock him or something like that.
Yeah, right. Man, the one thing that was evident to me, though, for sure, was the Japanese are just golf crazy over there.
Yeah.
They just love their – and Hideki is an absolute rock star over there. And he's only, what, 24 years old?
Yeah, very young.
Yeah.
Yep,
man, he does extremely
very
well over
guy,
here. Yeah,
he
very, very, very classy. He handles himself really well. Well, that's going to do it for the On the Range segment. Come back. We are going to jump onto the front nine. This is Golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN.
Quick note, we just got a call from our friend Joe Schieser at USA Mortgage. He said the rates are still below 4%, and if you mention Golf with Jay Delsing, he'll give you a discount on your closing costs. Please call him today at 314-628-2015.
Do you folks know about a family-owned and operated jewelry business that's been in the St. Louis area since 1946? If you haven't heard the name Sutley before, well, you have now. They are the premier Hearts on Fire dealer in the metropolitan region and have been for more than 21 years. What's a Hearts on Fire diamond, you ask? It is the world's most perfectly cut diamond. The Sutleys are knowledgeable and passionate about your jewelry needs and are open 6 days a week. They will treat you like family and want to understand your wishes and desires. Their business thrives on developing personal relationships with you. Sutleys also strive to stay on top of the latest trends in fashion with amazing selection of designer jewelry from famous designers like Lagos, Zengani, Simon G, just to name a few. It's all done at Sutleys. Sutleys is on the cutting edge of the diamond business, featuring the lab-grown diamonds that can cost 30 to 40% less than a mined diamond. Whether it's a Hearts on Fire, designer or custom jewelry, or even the new and innovative lab-grown diamonds, let Sutley Jewelers take care of all your jewelry needs. I have known this family for 45 years. Go in and see Gary, ask for Gus, ask for Laura. It's a family business, and they are terrific people. They're located in the Lamp and Lantern Village on Clayton Road, just west of Highway 141 in Town and Country. You can also visit them at saettele.com.
Dr. Olam & Boyle, LLC, are a proud sponsor of Golf with Jay Delsing here on 101 ESPN. The firm was started in January 2015 by Mike Doster, Jess Olam, and John Boyle, three veterans of the St. Louis real estate, banking, commercial, and corporate legal landscape. The firm was founded on the shared view that success should be measured by client and community satisfaction, not profits for partner. The firm's focus is on business, real estate, corporate, finance and restructuring, and succession planning. Since its founding in 2015, Doster, Olam, and Boyle have been involved in real estate, business, and corporate transactions with a combined value in excess of over $1 billion. For decades, Doster, Olam, and Boyle lawyers have been recognized as leaders in their practice areas by their peers. Doster, Olam, and Boyle, LLC. Extraordinary talent, ordinary people. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Golf Discount is where St. Louis has shopped for its golf equipment since 1976. Golf Discount has been and still is locally owned. They employ the most experienced staff you'll find anywhere. There are two locations, one in South County just off of Lime Ferry, and one in O'Fallon at Highways K and N. Golf Discount fits your custom equipment to your swing using the state-of-the-art GC Quad Launch Monitor. This ensures that perfect fit that you're looking for. Go to Golf Discount for all your golfing needs.
You're listening to Golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN. You can find Jay online at jaydelsinggolf.com.
Welcome back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay. John Perlis is with me here, and we got to thank the folks at Whitmore for sponsoring this show. There are 90 holes of golf at with your membership at Whitmore Country Club, the Links of Dardenne, Missouri Bluffs, the Golf Club of Wentzville, and no, all of your golf carts fees are included in that membership. There's a kids club in the main clubhouse and a fitness center that's 24 hours, a large pool complex, no food and beverage minimums, no assessments ever, tennis courts. There's junior golf, junior tennis, swim team available. Bummer, our good buddy Bummer, friend of the show, has been on the show. They do a great job out there. They're just about golf and growing the game and about your families, getting your kids involved. So you got to stop and say hello to Bummer. He's just a great guy to know.
Do the teams out there, Jay? Do they do the junior teams? I
think they do. The PGA, they're called PGA leagues.
Yes,
the junior leagues.
That?
I think they are. They're doing those
all
over
like
the place.
Idea.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
a good concept to get
maybe
people.
Somebody can come from Whitmore and talk about that a little bit. See how they're putting that together.
So if you're interested in joining a club that's family-centric, family-friendly, go to Whitmore Golf. That's WHITMOORGOLF.com. All right, so, Burley, we're getting cold. It's getting cold here.
Yep.
Getting nasty.
Yep.
The days of, slapping a pair of shorts on and running out, playing a quick nine, those are gone. One of the things that I loved as a kid growing up here is that when it got cold, I didn't think about golf. I wouldn't play basketball. Mm. And we played some soccer and we did some other things, you know. But that's when we were kids. Now that we're old, we don't necessarily move as well as we we've got to be able to do something golf healthy for our games. And we've had some phenomenal folks help sponsor the show.
There's some great choices of what to do.
Golf Discount is still with us. They're fantastic. Golf Tech was with us. 20 Minutes to Fitness is a phenomenal place to spend 20 minutes to get yourself in shape. But we're talking about not only strength, but we're talking about flexibility. We're talking about, so the thing that I get asked all the time, Pearl, you probably do too, how do I hit it further? How do I hit it further?
I'm always asking you how I hit it further.
Yeah, and there's one thing. I mean, it's really, really simple, right? It is all about speed.
From flexibility and strength.
That's where I was going. And how do you get the speed? You got to be flexible, and you got to have some strength to get that power.
And people don't get that you have to be flexible.
Right.
You absolutely do.
Yeah.
Strength over flexibility? I think I want flexibility in this game. But both is a heck of a way to go.
I've got a cool person. Her name is Cindy Vickers. She's going to come on the show soon, and she is a fitness expert, and she is golf focused mostly on golf, and we are going to talk about specific things, and she's really going to shed some light on some of the common flaws that people, you know, a lot of amateurs go, man, I just can't stop coming over the top. And she and I were talking about this the other day, and she said to me, and it is directly related to the golfers. Weakness in their lower body. And, Pearl, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
Because the upper body completely overwhelms the lower body in the swing because the legs don't get active enough. We've talked about that 100 times.
For me, for sure.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
But what a great time of year to do it. So you're not on the course beating yourself up necessarily. You know, whether you're making maybe a little technique swing change or doing the stuff you're talking about here with strengthening and making some changes, you've got 3 or 4 months to kind of groove it, get fit, get comfortable with it. You start something like this in May, you might suffer throughout your whole summer season. Make these changes now and take advantage of this.
Yeah, and if you're going to ever do video, use the video now. I mean, Golf Discount has the GC Quad launch monitors. If you want to get fitted for clubs, Golf Discount, man, Todd Bentrup, he is a rock star at Golf Discounts, and he's at both locations. They can really, really help you. And I'm not trying to spend our folks' money at all, but I can't tell you how, if you have not bought a set of clubs in, let's say, the last 10 years, they can make a huge difference. Yeah. And folks, we're talking about larger sweet spots, better shaft choices for, you know, maybe your swing speed's 85 and not, you know.
The technology's just there. It's matching up with the new ball. You got to make the change. And I'm the worst. I've been the worst for my whole career.
Well, I was kind of a dinosaur, too. And then I adopted because I had to if I wanted to try to stay out there, because they were just pumping new stuff at you every single week. Yeah. And you're going, man, what do I got to do? I got to try another driver. But we did.
What about getting once we hear from Cindy and get comfortable with some of this, get her on some of the social media.
Absolutely.
She will be. Videos, and maybe people can share their videos, and she could even help them out a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt. That's all going to be in the works.
I love that.
Yeah, so one of the things, Pearl, we know this about teaching. Some people will, I can say to you, you need to do this with this, your elbow, and some people do it spot on, and other people don't know their elbow from their knee.
Right.
But if you show them a video or show them a video of themselves, it's like, so some people are really visual learners and learn straight away and quickly by seeing things, and others can use the spoken word. But the one thing that's for sure, everybody's different.
Yeah. Well, the video helps a lot. We've talked about this. Feel isn't real. So they might be feeling a certain thing, but then they watch and they think they're making the big turn. Then they watch themselves in video and go, God, I thought I was turning all the way, and I've got 20% to go or 40% to go.
Right.
That's good. Video helps a ton. And again, you don't want to overdo it, because it can also make you crazy and start looking at too many things. But when you're working on a specific thing, you want to make sure you're doing it. It's a great way to go.
And that's what Cindy's going to bring to the table. But I'll tell you a really cool story about Ben Hogan. Mr. Hogan was, you know, he wasn't the most public person. He worked his tail off and hit ball after ball after ball. And right towards the end of his career, right before he was stopping to play, they started coming out with video. Okay. And they said, Mr. Hogan, this is fantastic. We have video. Can we video your swing? Do you want to see your swing on video? You know what he said? Nah. And they said, what do you mean? I mean, you work so hard on your swing. He goes, I do not want to see that I'm not doing something I feel like I'm doing, which is so beautiful because it was working for him. He had a theory in his mind, and he didn't want to disrupt that with the facts that he might not actually be doing that.
We talked about this, I think, several shows ago. Xander Schauffele was the same way. His father would
Schauffele.
Yep. Thanks, Jay. Mm-hmm. Schauffele. His father would not let him watch video.
Right.
And he would sneak some video with his buddies on the side. And his dad, I guess, is a pretty tough guy.
Yeah.
And his dad just didn't want that for the same reason. So, again, there's pros and cons. You've got to have a plan when you use it. You just don't want to abuse it. We've watched some of the tour players. I've watched video. I'm not going to name names. These guys just grind it out, and, boy, it didn't seem to help.
No, I'm with you.
It's so technical, because you got to feel your way around out there.
But, Pearl, it's a gigantic trap.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, the game of golf is just a mental, it's a trap all to itself, right? But this quest to get better, and I have taken myself down so many rabbit holes where I think I'm getting better, and I'm like, this information's not helping me.
Yeah.
Like, did I need to know that? The answer was no.
Yeah. We need videos of between our ears for the neural pathways and see if our synapses are firing accordingly.
Do I have any of those?
I don't think so.
You might not anymore, but you had it when you first got out there.
I don't think I did.
I think I may not have been good.
I've been trying to kill all the synapses I can. I think I've probably done a good job. There's not much red wine left in the town.
Well, that's going to do it for the front nine segment. Come back to the back nine. We're going to have our interview with Mark Long, and we're going to have an episode of Whack and Chase in the 19th hole. This is Golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN. Welcome to our segment that I like to call The Leading Edge. My guest this week, and will be with me for the next 7 or 8 weeks, is Cindy Vicker. Cindy, good morning, and thanks for being on the show.
Well, thanks for having me. I feel, like, very honored, as a matter of fact.
Oh, my gosh.
Try not to be nervous.
I think you're the first person that felt honored to be on the show, but we appreciate that, and we're all about firsts.
Good.
I want to tell folks a little bit. So we talked, and we have this segment that we're going to call Improving Your Physical Handicap. Okay, you've got some really phenomenal certifications. You're certified as a registered yoga teacher, a corrective exercise specialist, K-Vest instructor, TPI, which is Titleist Performance Institute instructor, as well as a personal trainer. And I just think you're perfect for this spot because...
So let's say that again, because that word doesn't get used that much.
Yeah, they're perfect for this. Yeah, I think you're just perfect.
Thank you.
For this spot.
Oh.
Because what we're trying to do is figure out ways that we can differentiate yourselves in your field. So tell me a little bit about your thoughts on how we're going to approach this, lowering your physical handicap.
Okay, so let's just say a handicap is some kind of challenge or impediment to you being successful at what you're trying to do. So when we're talking about golf specifically, and we're talking about a fitness handicap, we're talking about what it is it about your body that it's not doing that's causing you to not essentially have an efficient golf swing, right? So having an efficient golf swing is the name of the game. If you want power, if you want speed, if you want club head speed, you want, you know, consistency, if you want everything, it's about having this very efficient swing. So TPI has... they just have extensive research about golf and fitness and how it applies to improving your golf game. So they've created this data where they have essentially 12 physical screens, like 12 tests, and they call it the body swing connection. So in each test, they're saying if you cannot perform this test, and it might look like something that's unrelated to your golf swing, the way it is going to impact your golf game is thus and so. So let me give you an example of one of those things. And there's 12 screens. So we're not really going to talk about this specifically today, but this is just an example. So one screen tests your ability to rotate your hips internally and externally.
Extremely important in the golf swing.
Extremely important. If you cannot rotate your hips sufficiently, that can cause sway. You know what sway is? When you lean away from it, that causes you to lose your balance. It can cause you to lose your posture, have reverse spine angle, early extension, hanging back. That's just about rotating your hips internally. And you really can't separate things, because then we have to talk about, you know, the strength of your lower body and your upper body rotation. But if we're just talking, but my point is that if I can see that you cannot rotate your hips internally, I know that that's what's going to happen in your golf swing.
And that's what's so important about why we want to get this message out to our listeners, is because they'll go take lessons and buy new clubs and things like that. And the information you have can help them, you know, and maybe save them from buying new clubs. They don't need that.
Yeah, and it's not like you don't look at those things. I mean, you need to understand how to play the game and assessing the course and how to relax and all those things. But this is specifically about when you're trying to get yourself into this efficient golf swing. And lots of people, particularly amateurs, don't realize that their body is not doing the very thing that they're supposed to be doing, or that their teacher or their golf pro, or they understand that they're trying to do something, but their body just won't cooperate. So it's the job of me to figure out what it is that's not happening, either strength-wise or flexibility-wise, and then give you the tools to do it. But we're really talking about specific to playing golf, not about getting six-pack abs. Which we could do that too if you want.
Well, that's fantastic. And we are going to break this series down. We're going to talk about balance. We're going to talk about flexibility, strength, and speed. And so stay tuned to the Leading Edge. Cindy Vickers is going to be with us for the next 7 or 8 weeks. And we are going to break down these parts of our body that are going to help you create a more efficient golf swing.
After 25 years on the PGA Tour, Jay Delsing takes you behind the scenes from the eyes of a pro. Now back to more golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay. I got my favorite caddy, John, here with me. And probably we are headed to the back nine. Let's go straight to our Mark Long caddy tale interview.
Love it.
I can remember just having... back in the day when I first got on tour, you know, not really knowing very many people, not knowing what to do, and having, when you had a caddy, you know, that worked for you for a few weeks and you got to know him, it was such a like a comfort level. There was just a different comfort level knowing that you're going to walk up there and you know, have your guy come grab your bag and off you go, as opposed to, man, when I didn't have a caddy, I felt like a piece of meat in a, you know, out in the on the wild, where all these lions and tigers were just going to come in and start hitting at me and just, you know, grabbing me and telling me how good they could caddy and things like that. It was just weird.
Yeah, that walk through the parking lot was you're running the gauntlet on a Monday or a Tuesday, aren't you? It doesn't. I don't think that happens much anymore, because everybody kind of just has a full-time caddy. But when we went out there at first in the late 80s or early 90s, it was unusual to have a full-time caddy. Guys were switching all the time.
Right. I mean,
and there was actually a PGA. Did you know that there was actually a PGA rule that in the 70s, early 70s, I think it was still in effect, where you could not take the same caddy for more than 1 or 2 weeks in a row? That was an actual rule. You had to use a different guy.
No, I had no idea. But when I first got on tour, Curtis Strange was one of the best players, and he never kept a caddy for more than, you know, 6 or 8 weeks and rotated them in and out.
Yeah, there was a lot more of that. In the late 80s, early 90s, guys were always working for different players. And then, of course, when I went out with Fred, I worked for the same guy almost all the time when I came out, and that was sort of when things started changing. And the interesting thing about how things have changed for caddies, it's the increase in the purses. It's all directly related to the increase in purses. The more money there was in caddying changed the way caddies did things and who came out to caddy. When I first came out, there were a handful of caddies who were good players. Bones came out the same time I did. He was real good. He was an All-American in college. I was an average college player talent wise. So I wasn't too bad a golfer, but there weren't too many guys who could break 70 playing golf as a caddy when I came out. Now there's guys who have their tour cards, who've had tour cards, who are caddying. There's probably 30 caddies who have no idea how many times they've broken 70 playing golf. Shoot, there's probably 30 caddies who played the Korn Ferry Tour caddying on the tour right now. It's kind of like everybody who didn't make it to the majors is caddying for someone they knew who they played with in college or the minor leagues. So it's really changed a lot.
And what, you know, there's two trains of thought, basically. You don't have to necessarily know the game super well. You just need to know your player's game. But if you do know the game really well and you have that connection with your player, it can be a huge help.
I think, yeah, it's not – obviously it's not 100% requirement, because if you tick off the list, Joe LaCava is a great caddy, Tiger Woods caddy now, Fred Couples' long-time caddy. He knows exactly – there's no way anybody knows more about caddying than Joe does. And Joe, I don't think, is a low handicapper even.
Right.
I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure he's not that kind of a player. But he just has so much experience. He pays attention. You don't have to be. There are lots of great coaches who weren't great players. That's true in all sports, and that's true in caddying. You can kind of look at it that way. But if you happen to play at a high level, which I didn't, but I can name someone, for instance, let's take Nick Jones, who caddies for Charles Howe. Nick was an all-Pac-10 guy at USC, and Nick played in the U.S. Open at Pinehurst, and I think he actually shot a pretty good score the second round. He missed the cut. But if you have a caddy who knows what it's like to be in those situations, it's got to be a bonus, because he just has another insight to the player's mentality and what the player's going through. And if you haven't been there, you can try to think you know, but you don't know, do you?
No, you really don't. Let's just reminisce a little bit about some of the fun stories that you have and some of the funny things that occur. I told a story a couple weeks ago about I was playing with Greg Norman, and I watched him top a drive about 40 yards. You know, and he was probably the best driver of the ball that I ever played with, long and straight wise. And some of the things you see, you know, day in and day out get pretty funny and pretty unusual.
There's so many of them. I think since you brought up the Greg Norman shot, it's seeing some of the bad shots that the guys have hit. I remember Hal Sutton cold topping one off the ninth tee at Las Colinas one time, and it's just a shock when that happens. It happens, but it shocks you every time it does, because that's the last thing you expect one of the great players of all time to do, but they do it. It should be a little hint to the listeners that the difference between a tour player's really good shot and really bad shot is just as gargantuan as yours is.
It's true.
It's pretty shocking sometimes.
Yeah, it's true.
One time we were playing with Dr. Dirt, Bart Bryant, at Austin in a senior event, and you know how Dirt used to kind of beat the ground with his 3-wood and then tee it up on the tuft of ground, you know?
Are you talking about Brad or are you talking about Bart?
Dr. Dirt, Brad.
That's right, Brad. Okay.
Yeah, Brad. Did I say? Well, okay, so it's Brad, Dr. Dirt. So anyway, he you know, does the thing. And you know how long he hit it, too. He hit it miles. So he kind of tufts up the grass, puts his ball on it, and hits the 3-wood. He hits it so fat, it flies about 15 yards up in the air and about 20 yards forward, and it plops in a little pond right in front of the tee that nobody – you didn't even know the pond was there. You just walk around it without it. And until this ball flew into the pond, you never knew the pond existed. And it was Tom Kite and Dirt and Fred Funk, and we were all just dead silent because it was just shocking. And so Brad just goes over, gets another ball, and tees it up with his driver and hits it about 340 right down the pipe like nothing happened.
He has the best.
Oh, that was one.
He has the best series of nicknames. I mean, he was one of those guys. Brad Bryant, we're talking about, would come out and at the early morning tea time, afternoon tea time, whatever, straight out of the hotel and look like he slept in his clothes. Everything he had was wrinkled. His hat was on crooked. There was food stains on the front of his clothes, and he was he started off. They used to call him Commander Dirt, and then they said Commander in Chief of all dirt forces. And then this nickname
that was McCord who dubbed him, right?
Right, and and it just evolved all the way back down to just Dirt. Now you just refer to Brad Bryant as Dirt because he's just kind of dirt.
Yeah, he's and we can name. There's a group of guys who fit into that this category, who can take the best. You could get the best Italian tailor clothing, whatever, and put it on these guys, and they all just look like you said. They'd look like they'd slept in it and eaten a big spaghetti sauce dinner with it, like Steve Pate, right? Pater's just like that. Certainly, so there's Dirt, there's Pater. You know, Rocco, when he was younger, was like that. Now Rocco's looking good now, man.
Yeah, he's lost a lot of weight and gotten some things together.
Oh, man.
When I went to college with Steve Pate, and Steve Pater, you know, used to love to dip. And we get a little wind blowing, and he would spit this tobacco, and it would go on his visor, on his face, on the collars of his shirt. I mean, it was, it was everywhere.
I wasn't going to go there with the dip part, but that's what I was thinking when I was thinking of Pater. That's all over his shirt, right? It's just, I'm more in that way than I am in the keeping clean way. I put on a new shirt in the morning. It's within 1 hour. There's something on it. I've got that same problem.
Well, the older I get, I mean, I just spilled my whole. I could tell you what my three meals were by looking down at the clothes that I have on because it's all over the place. But you know, Bobby Clampett was a little like that. He'd take three swings and his shirt would come untucked.
Oh, he couldn't keep his shirt tucked in. Yeah, there's a few of those guys for sure. Yeah, that's funny. I'm trying to think of some comical things we've heard guys say Fulton Allum. I mean, talk about some lines that you remember forever. He used to just remember Basil used to work for Fulty.
And so did Bullet Bob Burns.
Yeah, and Fulty, all the lines he had for Basil. I know your head is hollow, but it still casts a shadow. Please move so I can butt. You know, and he just had Fulty had so many good lines with that South African accent, many of which I can't say on the radio, unfortunately.
No, you cannot. We are a family show, but I know exactly where you're going with them. What about the time that Fulton Allum dropped his yardage book in the Port-a-John?
Oh my goodness!
And had Bullet Bob Burns go retrieve it.
Yeah.
Who actually did not retrieve it. He had his scorekeeper go in there and get it.
Exactly. And so she walks up to Bullet, and she's got this wad of toilet paper holding the yardage book, and Bullet just starts laughing. And anyway, without going into the exact verbiage used, on one or two swings later, Fulty followed through and started smelling his grip. And it didn't smell quite right, and he described it in very colorful language. So,
like he did most of the time.
Did you know Bob Burns? So Bob, who worked for Fulty as well, legendary caddy from Long Island, he told me once that he went to grade school with Bob Costas, and he used to beat up Bob Costas every day and steal his lunch money. So that's a neat little tidbit.
You know what? Bob Burns caddied for me for about 2 years, and it was never a dull moment. He had more one-liners and more little quick jabs and barbs than anyone I ever had met. And I also had a tough time understanding some of his New York.
Oh, yeah. Well, how about, I'm just trying to think of some more. I remember a line, Travis, we were sitting in Hawaii, and we've been there for a week or two, and it's Saturday night. Everybody's hanging out at Duke's, and Travis says, he goes, man, I can't wait to get off this rock back where I belong. And immediately, Bullet Bob says, yeah, back in the county jail. You know, just classic Bullet. Now, did you ever hear the story back before George started making yardage books, or making a lot of them? I guess guys would get different numbers all the time on par three. So you get up there and three guys would have three different numbers, and no one would know what was going on. And so I guess when the growler was working for Payne Stewart one time, they get to about the 17th hole, and Payne's 8 under for the day. And growler gives Payne the number. Yeah, it's like 185. And Payne says to growler, he goes, hey, growler, every number you give me today has been even. It's been like 150, 155. I haven't heard like a 163 the whole day. Hey, growler, now, keep in mind he's 8 under for the day. Growler looks right at him and goes, that's because you're not that good.
Now, do you know the growler's full name? I know his first name was Lynn, wasn't it?
Lynn Strickler.
Lynn Strickler. Oh, and so, folks, they called him the growler because he growled at you. He basically just growled at you. So he told Payne Stewart.
Yeah, he didn't talk, he growled. No question.
Yeah, he told Payne Stewart. He's 8 under par for the day, and he's rounding up or down all of his numbers to give them even. And he told him he's not that good, so he doesn't need him to be any more specific.
Yeah, the way Lynn would have said it, if I could try, I've never tried my growler imitation, but it'd be something like, he'd go, you're not that good. You know? just priceless. I'll tell you, the caddies, when I came out, oh, you could have made a movie about it. The characters were incredible. Fluff, you know, let's look at Fluff. Fluff was old when he was young, right? I mean, he looked 30 years older than he did when he was younger. And now he looks the same, basically.
He does look
like
the
same.
Like
he's never changed.
I want to thank Whitmore Country Club for sponsoring my show, Golf with Jay Delsing. There's 90 holes of golf at Whitmore. If you join out at Whitmore, you get privileges at the Missouri Bluffs, the Links of Dardenne, Golf Club of Wentzville, and all the cart fees are included in that membership. There's no food and beverage minimums and no assessments ever. They've got a great 24-hour fitness center, a large pool complex, 3 tennis courts, a year-round social calendar that is rocking out at Whitmore. There's kids clubs, junior golf, junior tennis, swim team available for your children. This is a family-friendly atmosphere, a wonderful staff, and you've got to go to the golf shop and visit my friend, Bummer. He is an absolute treat. Don't forget about the golf leagues, their skin games, members tournaments. Bummer and the staff out of Whitmore are continually running cool and fun golf events for you and your family. Visit their website at whitmoregolf.com. Golf Discount is where St. Louis has shopped for its golf equipment since 1976. Golf Discount has been and still is locally owned. They employ the most experienced staff you'll find anywhere. There are 2 locations, one in South County just off of Lee May Ferry, and one in O'Fallon at Highways K and N. Golf Discount fits your custom equipment to your swing using the state-of-the-art GC Quad Launch Monitor. This ensures that perfect fit that you're looking for. Go to Golf Discount for all your golfing needs.
Urban Chestnut Brewing Company is proud to be an official sponsor of 101 ESPN's newest show, Golf with our friend Jay Delsing. Just like Jay, Urban Chestnut is born right here in St. Louis. With 3 local brewing and restaurant locations, you won't travel far to sample straight from the source. If you're heading out to the Links this weekend, or if you're just in the mood for a classic German-style beer, grab a 4-pack of our fresh, refreshing Zwickel Bavarian Lager wherever craft beers are sold. Urban Chestnut Brewing Company, St. Louis, Missouri. Prost!
St. Louis has so much going for it right now. A new soccer team on the way. The Blues made a historic run to bring home the Stanley Cup. And we have a growing startup community making St. Louis a household name for innovation nationally and internationally. Pride is not just who we were, but Who We Are Becoming is the new banner call for St. Louis, and the forward momentum is exciting to see. But is your banking partner moving forward with you? Are they a part of your community or sitting hundreds of miles away making decisions that affect the forward momentum of you and your business? Well, St. Louis Bank is a locally owned community bank for the St. Louis region. And like what's happening in our area, St. Louis Bank is innovating community banking to help you move your business and our region forward. St. Louis Bank, let's move your business forward together. Find us online at stlouisbank.com, connect with us on LinkedIn, or call us at 314-851-6200.
Dinner was delicious. Everything on the menu is house-made with love. The roasted beet salad had perfectly balanced flavors. The gnocchi ragu and the mushroom ravioli were some of the most amazing pasta dishes we've ever tasted. And the service made our experience perfect. We would highly recommend Pinot for a date night or casual dinner.
Hey, St. Louis, this is Chef Pepe, inviting you to Pinot Italian Soul Food in Clayton on Wydown, just east of Hanley.
It's time for the 19th hole on Golf with Jay Delsing.
Welcome back to Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay. I got Pearlie here with me, and we are going to the 19th hole, one of our favorite segments. Man, I want to thank the Deem team and their automotive group. Just bought my car, my daughter, Jo, a car, and they just hit it out of the park over at the Volkswagen dealership in Kirkwood. Can't thank them enough. Colin and Brent, man, you guys were just fantastic. These guys, some dealerships say they have everything you need. These guys have everything you could imagine. They've got brands like Volkswagen, Subaru, Hyundai, Genesis, Volvo, over 1,000 pre-owned vehicles. I bought a pre-owned Volkswagen, and had the car sitting out there, cleaned up, gassed up. Joe and I both got to drive.
Excited?
It. Oh man, she's excited. I'm excited.
Yeah,
it was just really fun.
Plus, it's nice to have a great experience like that.
Yep. Safe car, which was our main main goal. They put us in a great vehicle. They have a custom golf cart division. It's really fun. Those things are great. Music, street legal. Go to DeanTeamGolfCarts.com for that. And the luxury division, Dean Team Autosports. If you're a car guy at all, you got to get over and see this. They've got Bugattis, Bentleys, Ferraris, Maseratis, Lamborghinis. They got Rolls Royces, McLarens, and they just got a Porsche 918 Spyder that costs just a tiny bit more than your house and my house put together. It costs $1.5 million.
Yikes.
So there's five locations, all on Manchester Road. The Volkswagen, Subaru, and Hyundai are in Baldwin. The second Volkswagen location's in Kirkwood. That's where we went. Hey, Brent, and hey, Colin. And they're open. They're about to open a brand new Volvo dealership in Maplewood. So anything you need, DeanTeam.com. All right, cool. We the Mark Long stuff is just really great. We've got we got to go to an episode of Whack and Chase.
That's great too. From Caddy Tales to Whack and Chase. This is the Golf with Jay Delsing show, and it's fun with one episode after another, baby.
Here comes Whack and Chase.
John, Jay, you guys ready to help some people?
Absolutely. We're always ready to help somebody.
All right. David on the line now for Whack and Chase, looking for some advice.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Hey, Dave. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. So I'm a pretty regular golfer, a weekend warrior, if you will. I play a couple times a month, you know, as often as I can throughout the year, but usually it's a couple times a month. I actually grew up across the street from a golf course. And my folks still live there. My dad still plays there every day. He plays 5-6 times a week. And that's
awesome.
Kind of part of my problem.
Where are you from? To give us a hint there, so maybe we can identify the golf course if somebody knows it.
Oh, gosh, probably not.
Okay.
So my folks live up in Gallatin, Missouri. I live here in St. Louis.
Okay.
They live about 5 hours away.
Good.
But I guess the problem is that he gets to play all the time, and I'm playing a couple times a month. And I've got a younger sister, 5 years younger, and she got to spend an extra 5 years there across the street from the golf course, and now she lives in Florida.
I know where we're going with this, Dave. This is awesome.
So we only play, all three of us together, about once a year.
Uh-oh.
And an example of that was last week.
Oh,
and
Dave.
I think you know how the story ends.
Oh, Dave.
That's tough.
Oh, God, I bet your little sister can play.
Yes, she can. She was a high school athlete. She played ball in college, and she's long and she's lean, and she can drive the ball almost 300 yards.
Yikes.
You got to hate her on the golf course. Yeah.
It's a love hate. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right on.
Well, there's a lot of good stuff in there right there, though, that you're playing with family, you're still with your dad, that your dad's still playing golf, and somehow you got to step this up. So how far behind are you? Kind of what are you after here? what specifically, you know, are you 2 shots worse than you need to be or 10 shots, and what are you shooting?
I'm about a stroke every other hole. I'm pretty much a bogey golfer. My problem is when I blow a hole, I end up what I call a double bogey, you know, like
sure.
an 8.
I got to remember the definition of double bogey is 8. I got to remember that one.
So I don't have much time to practice. Where should I be spending my time? I'm probably not going to learn how to hit it 300 yards in my one weekend a month. You know, putting's pretty easy. Chipping's a close contact sport. Where should I be spending my time to get better and catch up with these two?
That's a great question. And Jay is kind of nervously fidgeting over on the far side of the table over there. So while he calms himself down, I was going to ask you a couple questions here. So
sure.
Let's see here. Do you take lessons or have you taken lessons?
You know, I haven't. I actually learned from my dad. He's a pretty good coach in every sport.
Nice.
I've never taken lessons from a professional, though.
Okay. All right. So that's one little thing we know about you there. Let's see here. Do you dream about golf when you're dreaming night, especially like before the big match, this annual match with dad and sister? Are you dreaming about that? Is there some buildup in your mind, in your dreams, in your thought process prior to the event?
You know, I think excitement, but not a nervous dream. I'm happy about it. I enjoy golf. It's a friendly walk around the park, you know, ruined by a little white ball. But I dream about it in a good way. I look forward to it.
That's awesome. So just so Jay has a hint here, how many shots are you trying to get better? So if you're kind of bogey golf, I think you said, what are you trying to be?
If I could start knocking off, you know, 9 or 10 shots on around 18 holes, I'd be in a lot better shape.
Well, thank God you're talking to Jay Delsing, because normally that's a tall order for a lot of people, but it is not for Jay Delsing, and he is chomping at the bit to give you an answer. So sit down, grab a pen, get your notes ready, and tell your sister and your father, be ready for next year.
Dave, give me a little example, because I think you feel like putting is pretty easy, so I'm thinking that you don't lose a whole lot of strokes around the green on the greens.
Unfortunately, I probably 3-putt more often than I should. I've kind of adopted the concept of on that second shot to try and be on the green. So I'd probably say as you make me break it down in my own mind. Probably my short game is my problem. You know, I heard somebody say that they take half their shots within 100 feet of the hole, and I laughed. I wish it was half my shots.
Yeah, so that's why I asked you that question, because when anybody...
So he wasn't thinking it was bad early because he wasn't losing any balls on the green.
Right.
So
right.
He wasn't making any of those, right. Those 8 double bogeys.
They were dry.
Right.
Okay, I got it.
Because when anyone will ask me, what's the quickest, easiest, best way for me to lower their handicap, lower scores, it's always from 100 yards on end. It's never about trying to hit a 300-yard drive. So what I would focus on is from 100 yards on end. And I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but, Pearl, you can vouch for this too. I'd say 60% of people that play golf don't know how far their clubs go.
Oh, 60. 90.
Okay. I was trying to be kind.
Yeah. Well, I'm not that kind.
And so what we want to do is try to figure out how far this club
is
going to go.
Look at all the amateurs you had playing with you all through those years. They all thought they knew how far they did, but every single time you would have begged to hit one more club.
And I'll tell you this, David, 99.99% of them all missed short. It was all, you know, that miss it. And I get that. What I would suggest is, getting your wedges. If you can sneak out, it doesn't take a huge time commitment. Sneak out, get your, I don't know how many wedges you have in your bag. If you just have a sand wedge and a pitching wedge, or if you have 3, or maybe, you know, you may have 4. I doubt that, since you don't get to play that much. But I would get a nice, this doesn't take power, by the way, David. You get nice, smooth, rhythmic swing, and just make solid contact. Just keep moving the ball forward. And if you're in doubt, will this wedge get me that far. I'm not sure. Go take one more club and just swing it easy. It's completely non-male. We love to swing hard. We love to hit it hard. But it is such, even in my game, when I would play my best, it would be because if I was ever in between clubs, I'd take a longer club and not try to hit it hard.
No question.
It's not as much fun, but it is so much more effective.
When you hit it better, it's a lot of fun.
And making cuts and making money was fun. So actually, it was way more fun. But that's what I'd really do. And then focus on if you can start avoiding your three putts. So start working on the pace of your stroke. Start working on how what length of stroke is going to produce what length of putt. And I know that sounds stupid.
You want him to work inside from a foot or two from the hole out to 30 or 40 feet, or you want him to start at 30 or 40 feet, move into a foot?
Yeah, I would start out at 30, 40 feet and just get a sense for, man, why am I typically long? Am I typically short? And one of the things you want to do when you putt, this will help you dramatically, don't move anything from your belt line down. From your waist down, Dave, don't move a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just let your upper body, with really soft hands, move the club and swing it back and forth. And try to let the length of your stroke dictate how far the putt goes. And
that makes good sense. All right.
I really keep it simple. And look, your sister can play. Your dad's a great coach. Watch them. There's tips in
there. He's watching them.
Watch him.
He's watching them all day.
Him kick my butt. I know. I don't want to do that anymore.
They're watching me as I zigzag down the course.
Yeah, they're like, David, come back here. We're over on this hole.
Well, sure. Appreciate the call in. Appreciate you listening to the show. And I hope you enjoyed it. We sure enjoyed having you.
Thanks for the help.
And David, if this stuff helps, tell everybody where you got it. You got it from Jay and John here at Whack and Chase at Golf with Jay Delsing. And if you keep if your sister keeps kicking your ass and your dad doesn't want to talk to you anymore, tell him we never met.
That's what I'll do. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in.
Have a good – bye-bye.
Well, I mean, keep calling us, please. Yeah. Jay@jaydelsinggolf.com. Anybody that wants to be on there will have a little fun, but we really do want to help you with your game. Those are fun.
Anybody that's
segments.
Played any golf has great stories. And we talked for the longest time. We got Whack and Chase going. We've got Caddy Tales. It's just a way for us to hear and share stories with people, because that seems to be kind of the attraction, is you and I talk as little as possible and hear everybody else's stories. And golf generates cool stories.
And you know what, John? This is about people and about the people that you meet. Yeah. You play around a golf with somebody, they might be your friend for the rest of your life. There's nothing like this game, you guys. It's just fantastic.
You're vulnerable. You're exposed out there.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
You're humiliated.
Where else can you laugh and cry at the same time with a perfect stranger? It's ridiculous.
And I got a buddy that I tease him because I say nobody likes Jerry Schatz as much as Jerry.
Oh, there's no question about
that. Which is great. Yeah. He is so joyful. It might be a tough day, but if he knocks one close to the hole, it's a celebration.
How about that? You guys remember what I did on 13? We're like, yeah, but what happened on 14?
We thought you
had a stroke. Yeah. Oh, it's really, really fun. And, man, it's just been I'm so fortunate to have been able to, you know, 59. I've been able to do this my whole life, and I don't want to stop anytime soon.
There's no need to.
No. We're going to have to stop this show, though, because we only got an hour.
Too quick again.
Well, thanks for being with us. Meet. Keep doing it. Appreciate your help. Appreciate you keeping
us
on the straight
and narrow.
Yeah, make us look good. We both have faces for radio. This is Golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN. Hit 'em straight, St. Louis.
That was Golf with Jay Delsing, brought to you by Whitmore Country Club. Tune in next Sunday for more from Jay, John, and the other pros and experts from the golf world. In the meantime, you can find all of Jay's shows at 101ESPN.com, as well as at jaydelsinggolf.com.